Welcome to the B-Field Alumni Podcast.
Coming to you from the B-Field Alumni House.
We're your hosts, Nina Ruffo
and Peter Young.
In this episode, we spoke to Jennifer Mills.
At the time we recorded, Jennifer was the president of the Tulane Alumni Association. She's now the immediate past president. We'll hear about her career path to becoming a physician, her time as the chief arranger for Green Envy, and about how there was a semester she took so many courses, the university created a rule to prevent anyone else from doing it ever again.
Let's get to the episode.
I graduated Newcomb College, class of 2001, with a Bachelor of Science in Cell and Molecular Biology and a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Music Vocal Performance.
Dual degree, not just dual major.
Dual degree.
Very impressive.
So impressive. How did you find Tulane when you were looking for schools to go to?
It's interesting because I was in the gifted program in high school. And so, I mean, I was in the gifted program throughout school, which actually does play into the choice of Tulane, and like small class sizes and all of those things were more of what I was accustomed to in school than, oh, you go to LSU and you're one of 9,000 people in your class and you just disappear into, well, it wouldn't be a wave at LSU, but whatever the comparable thing is, we'll fall into the lake.
The tiger roar.
Exactly. So I was in the gifted program, and my high school English teacher kind of like moonlit as a guidance counselor and got college reps to come and talk to us and really did a lot of the facilitating things that I think the guidance counselor probably should have done. I don't even remember the guidance counselor, but I remember Miss Mangum. And she had somebody from admissions come and talk to our class. And I'm still, you know, it's Tulane. Like, thanks for coming to talk to us. And then a couple months later, there was a post-it note there was a postcard that came in the mail from Tulane. And my mom put a post-it note on it and put it on my bed and wrote, fill this out and send it in. So I'm a very obedient child, and I filled it out, and I sent it in. And then Tulane sent me something else that was like, oh, no, they sent the scholarship booklet. So the scholarship booklet, if you know, you know. At this time, because we were in the mid-90s, so everything is still on paper, and it was a book of maybe 20 applications for different awards. And they described a little bit about the awards, and then you have a piece of paper, fill out your name and demographic information, and then do whatever. And most of the scholarships had a whole page that you filled out. And I was flipping through this book, and I'm like, I'm not eligible for any of these things. I can't do any of these things. And then there was one that was like, oh, I could do that. And it's the Dean's Honor Scholarship. And that one had fill out your name and the date or whatever. And then it was a blank piece of paper on the front of the page. And then on the back of the page was a square that I believe was in red ink. And it says, use this square. But there are no other instructions.
Yeah.
And then you're like looking at this piece of paper for days. I looked at this piece of paper, turned it over, I turned it back over. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this square. Square. You talk to kids now, there are still kids who have like dealt with this square, and I actually met a Dean's Honor Scholar a couple of weeks ago when I was here for the SLA Dean's Advisory Council, and I was like, oh yeah, I was a Dean's Honor Scholar, and she's like, oh, me too, and I was like, did you have to deal with, and she's like, the square?
Yes.
Like this thing. And so a couple of, I mean, it was at least definitely weeks, maybe a month or so. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had this idea, and I had a bedside piece of paper, and I wrote down whatever this was. And then I woke up during the morning, and, like, those are chicken scratches, and no one knows what this idea was. It was a great idea, too. And then a couple of days after that, I came up with another idea, which I think was not as good as the previous idea that I had had that I didn't remember. But I executed my idea, and I used the square, and I sent it in. And I got a Dean's Honor Scholarship, and so I came to Tulane on a Dean's Honor Scholarship.
Okay,
because cool. My mom put a post-it note on my bed that said, fill this out and turn it in.
Shout out to
mom.
Shout out to mom. Okay, so you arrive on campus. That's the fall of 1997?
Yes. So this is, I get here, Diana's still alive. Okay. Very shortly thereafter,
oh my God.
Diana is not alive anymore. That's a huge thing.
Oh, wow.
The first Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
The kids would say dropped at that time.
Did you read the first Harry Potter book when it
I
dropped?
I did read the first Harry Potter book. In fact, I read the Harry Potter books until the ones with all the spiders. And I can't do spiders, so I had to stop. So that's like halfway through the third one, I think.
So funny.
Yeah.
Where did you live your first year?
I lived in JL1E.
Oh, my okay. God. I was one odd in JL.
So
that's cute.
I was on the short end of the floor.
So was I on the other
which
side.
Is kind of special because, like, there's this whole bathroom and, like, four people
yes.
who live there. And it's like the people on the other side of the floor don't know that that bathroom exists.
Totally.
So you basically have a private bathroom.
Yes. It's the best.
Yeah.
VIP status.
No, it feels very...
From the get-go.
Yeah. No,
that's
it's
awesome.
Good.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, no, it's like there's this small little area and they share it. And
because
there's like three showers. There's like five girls.
The stairs on either sides of the building cut like the first floor in half. And so then you go up and like the second floor goes from the very front of the building to the back.
But there's a disruption.
There.
Yeah, and it's not like a full half. It's like a small half. And if you're there, you're lucky because the bathroom's like right there and it's always empty. And it was super clean because there was like... Not that many people. Yeah,
it's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good stuff. A fellow JL girl. I love that. Yeah.
So you referenced your dual degree, but I also heard that there is essentially a Jennifer Mills rule.
Yes. Let me tell
that
you
is
about
maybe
that.
An unspoken, unofficial rule, but it's about the number of courses or credits one can take in any given semester.
So when I was here, you were encouraged to not take more than 15 or 16 hours first semester, freshman year, and I think I followed instructions. And then there were other things, and there are electives and labs and things that you wanted to do. And so you could overload, so full course load was 18 hours, and you could overload to 21 hours. And then above that, you had to seek permission. And after I decided, you know, late to the game that I was going to be a dual degree, and I had to catch up a bunch of things in junior year and senior year. And then the first semester of my senior year, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm tired. I'm going to take 16 hours like a normal human. And I will extend for a semester after my senior year, and then I'll finish. And then I was looking into how much Tulane costs if you were not on a full tuition scholarship. And it turns out that that was not the plan for me, and I needed to finish in 4 years. And so then I had, in the overload, in my second semester senior year, I took 29 credit hours.
So you essentially took two semesters worth of coursework
in one
semester.
And I had a regularly scheduled all-nighter from
Tuesday
Wednesday
wild.
Night.
So funny.
Every week. I highly, 0 of 10, do not recommend. And they made me talk to the Newcomb dean, and then I had to talk to the Tulane College dean. And to this day, I don't quite know why I had to talk to the Tulane College dean. And then I had to talk to people in Gibson Hall. Like, and it's saying the same thing. They're like, you're going to fail. Like, I'm not going to fail. Like, you're going to fail. Like, I'm not going to fail. Let me try. And at the first moment that it looks like I will not be successful, I will drop something and I'll figure something else out. And I made a 3.6 that semester, which is Dean's List.
Yeah.
And I finished all my stuff.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because you do what you have to do. I would not recommend it, though. I think they really, really have absolutely capped it at 24. But if you think
that's
about
good.
Hours
yeah.
in a day, like, that's how many there are.
Right.
So in the full fact that I had to sacrifice an entire night of sleep a week tells us that that was the wrong thing.
So
to do.
Unhealthy. But
yeah.
also, such commitment, you
well,
know?
And then you're,
to
and
just
still...
know that, to do that, have it scheduled. You're like, actually, guys, sorry, I'm not free tonight. I'm pulling an all-nighter.
Yeah. And I still was in Green Envy and did whatever extracurricular thing. Like, I was still
yeah.
like, living a normal human life. It wasn't just studying.
But can I ask, when you were pulling the all-nighter, were you just, like, pounding coffee?
No, I was just doing stuff. I mean...
You were just busy.
Coffee,
it was like your brain was just stimulated.
Yeah. I'm actually not a big caffeine person.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you have these, you know, whatever it was. Like, usually it was active stuff.
Right,
so,
okay.
in that it's not just sitting reading or
yeah.
you're taking notes or you're writing. And so... I mean, it's possible to fall asleep during those things, but I somehow didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, later in medical school, like, I might have a Diet Coke, but I wasn't, like, a caffeine person. And now,
right.
like, if I make a mistake, like, oh, have Diet Coke for lunch, don't sleep at night.
So you feel
the caffeine.
Really,
yeah.
I'm really sensitive, so I think I just didn't really need it.
Right.
Okay, so in the semesters when you were taking regular course loads, and I guess even the double, triple overload, what other stuff were you involved in on campus? What extracurriculars? Because I heard you mention Green Envy.
Yes. Yeah. So I was in Green Envy, and I arranged for Green Envy as well as singing in Green Envy. So that was time spent doing arrangements as well. So, like, sometimes an all-nighter is we're singing the Christmas party at Anne Rice's orphanage, and we need new arrangements of these songs. So my most prolific night was 5 arrangements in a night. But I did a lot of arranging. I was involved with student government. I was a Newcomb senator freshman year, and so I was in on the meetings that were, at the time, student government was the Associated Student Body, ASB. And then they decided that they wanted to split into what became GAPSA, Graduate and Professional Students Association, maybe, and then USG, Undergraduate Student Government. And so I got to be a part of some of the more contentious arguments about the naming and, like, how this was going to work and those kinds of things. So I made a lot of friends in student government.
So you were there for the schism.
Yeah, we've talked about the grand schism.
Yeah.
I was in Campus Night. Campus Night was entirely student-led productions, like Broadway productions. Uh-huh. And I had a role in a little night music.
So Speaking, just because you're so musical, clearly, like, music major, Green Envy, et cetera, do you remember any of the, like, people that came and performed on campus for different, like, TUCP? I don't even know if TUCP was around then. But
TUCP was TUCP around. Is. TUCP okay, yeah. is a long, yeah.
Yeah.
Word.
I remember watching L.A. Confidential in McAllister. That was, like, a big deal because I think it was a pre-screen of the movie.
Cool.
Oh, very cool.
Artists, I won't be able to tell you. And I'm sure that people played here.
Yeah.
And I can't remember. Like, I remember seeing Dave Matthews Band and Sting at Jazz Fest several times while I was in college.
Oh, cool.
But I don't remember seeing any bands. I need to go back and check because I'm sure that there were bands.
Do you remember any, like, speakers that came to campus?
Or who was your commencement speaker?
Yeah, who was your commencement speaker?
Do you remember?
I don't remember.
That's okay.
And it's not that I wasn't paying attention, and I do appreciate the magnitude and gravitas, but, like, I don't remember.
Well, you also are coming off a semester of
not sleeping.
So
we're going to say that
maybe you're a little tired.
My brain really wasn't necessarily in top form. I had to rewrite my thesis paper in the week between, like, you do the pre-defense.
Yeah.
And Dr. Barron was just, like, shaking his head. He's like, this is wrong. And I was like,
What was the topic of your thesis?
I'm so glad you asked. Because this is a very, very hot topic that is so applicable to life.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a soprano, and my performance thesis was on Baroque ornamentation, like vocal ornamentation.
Yeah.
And I used the aria Let the Bright Seraphim from Samson, which is Handel. And it's an ABA format aria, which means you sing a part and then the second part is different. And then the third part is like the first part, but with more embellishments where I get to show off what I know about Baroque ornamentation.
Well, you said your performance thesis, so part of your thesis was performing?
Yes. So after I have not been sleeping because I'm rewriting the paper, and this is also, we have computers, but it's not like you can take a cell phone picture of something and then make a PDF and edit it easily. This is still where you have to use music publishing software to, like, write out a musical line and then cut it out and then tape it or paste it in and then use whiteout to, whiteout is this white substance that used to be used on paper that had ink on it. You could hold a piece of paper and it had written ink on it. And then sometimes you would create this paper with written ink using a thing called a typewriter, which is
a
machine.
You didn't use a typewriter.
I used a typewriter when I was doing my applications to come here.
Okay.
We had a computer, but the point is that whiteout is something that people use a lot when they use typewriters to fix mistakes. And when you are cutting and pasting lines of music, because you've typed right. all these things on your computer, but you have to like allow space for the staff line and all the things. So it's actually, it's a lot of design formatting that I didn't know how to do with a computer. So I had to do it by hand. Huh. Wow, so like in yeah. rewriting all of those things. So if like the position on the page shifts because you add a paragraph, then you have to like redo all these things. So you have your finished copy of this, but then you had to put the thesis on special thesis paper and then like do the pages hand by hand because you have all of these like things that are taped onto it. So you can't just run it through the machine because it would pull off the stuff that you had taped. So like hand putting each of these pages on this thesis paper. And then you're like, here's my baby.
Okay. So you finish your thesis.
I finished my thesis. And then I had to go do my thesis defense, which yes. was me singing this aria at 8 o'clock in the morning in front of a panel that once again includes John Barron and I think Barbara Jaswinski and maybe Mrs. Lovett and maybe somebody else. And so I sang a Super D cold at 8 o'clock in the morning because I didn't warm up. I just like rolled in and sang.
Dang.
It worked really well. It was really good because the singing part was the easy part for me. Right. It was like the formatting and all the other stuff. But whatever the finished thing was that I redid in that week was accepted. And I got, I guess it's like, satisfactory, unsatisfactory. I got an S for my thesis.
And graduated with honors.
So after you graduate, wow. As you said, you're a physician.
Yes.
A doctor. So where did you go to medical school? Where did you do your residency? What kind of doctor are you?
So I went to medical school in town. LSU is my state school. And then I matched at Washington Hospital Center in Washington, D.C. for internal medicine. So, you know, match day is this big thing where all the medical students across the country all find out where they're going for residency at the same time. And it's, like, stressful enough if you just think about your, like, it's just your school and these 180 people that you spent the last 4 years with who are all finding out where they're going. And you're not even thinking about it, but, like, nationally this is happening. This is a huge, like, major stress moment for the nation. And then I got my envelope because they call you, you know, they call you in alphabetical order for when you get your white coat, when you do whatever, everything. It's like you already know who's going before you because mm-hmm. it's, you know, the same alphabet and the same people. So you go across, get your envelope, and then you go. And I didn't open the envelope for a while because, you know, I've lived my entire life in South Louisiana, south of I-10. This is the only home that I've ever known, and I definitely consider New Orleans to be part of that. Like, when I think about going home, it's not just going to Lafayette. Like, I'm going home. Like, I'm here. I'm home. I'm flying home. Are we going to Lafayette? No, I'm going to New Orleans, but, like, it's home, right? Mm-hmm. And so 45 minutes later, opened the envelope, and it said Washington Hospital Center, Washington, D.C. And then I put the envelope back in the piece of paper, and I went with my boyfriend back to his apartment because this was in Baton Rouge at the time, and he lived in Baton Rouge. And then I, like, laid down on the floor and cried because I was going to have to leave. And it's a huge thing. Something I think we're all familiar with from graduation and commencement activities here is the song, you know, Do You Know What It Means to Miss New Orleans? Mm-hmm. And it was in that moment I was like, I'm going. Like, this is irreversible. You know, you're matched. And, like, I set up my match list so that it was highly likely that I was going to match away. But in the, like, actuality of it, that's hard. It's hard to leave here. There's a lot of crying involved. Sure. And then I'm fine in Washington. I know, it sounds like, I'm fine, I really am. No, I'm not making any hand gestures that are begging for rescue. But it's also a very different place, you know? And I think it is, you walk down the street here, you don't know people, but there you speak to people because people speak to you, you speak to people. Like, there is a friendly, welcoming, it's very, very different culturally. And then when I moved, you had to, like, there's no Tony's in the grocery store. There's no Slap Your Mama in the grocery store. There's no Crystal. So, like, now they're like, you can go to the grocery store and buy stuff. When I moved there, like, you had to ship stuff. It was like moving to another country. It's like, oh, I need andouille sausage. And, like, they don't have that. And you're like, but I want to make gumbo. And it's like, but they don't have that. And they don't have seasoning. They don't have any of these things.
Do you still get things shipped to you now?
Oh, yeah. Or even, like, I mean, like, some things you can buy. But if you want to get, like, Tasso or something.
You get it shipped.
Louisiana grocer.
Perfect.
You also mentioned that you were the president of the Tulane Club of D.C.
I was. Mm-hmm.
I also happen to know that you're the current president of the Alumni Association.
I am.
There she is.
Among some other volunteer roles. So do you want to, like, list out or talk to us about your volunteer roles?
So I moved to Washington in 2006, and I was in residency, which is all-consuming. And I had finished residency, and I was working, I am still working, my first grown-up job in outpatient internal medicine. And I got a mailer for a Mardi Gras party. And I didn't know that there was a Tulane Club of D.C. I didn't know that there was a Mardi Gras party. And I was really excited about this because Mardi Gras is my favorite holiday. And you get to get dressed up and you go to a party and it's great. And I had a great time. And I remember I think I texted Jared Bocage. Jared will be a running, like... theme. I mean, we were friends here, you know, and he's still here working in the Office of Alumni Relations, as you know. So he's very much a part of many of my Tulane stories. And so I texted him and I was like, this was great. How do I become president of this club? And he's like,
I love,
like,
that's your first thought.
Yeah. But if you'll look at my, like, I'll talk about things. I was like, this is great. How do I become in charge? Like, this is just like a thing. Right? How do I make it better? How can I help? How can I make it better? How can I be in charge of it? And so he's like, why don't we just get you on the board? Well, he's like, haha, okay, let's just get you on the board. And so I joined the local DC club board in 2013. It was a large board because, you know, the DC club at the time, there were 5,000 or 6,000 alums in the area. Now we're closer to 7,000. You know, it's a pretty big area. I joined specifically to work on special events. I wanted to work on the Mardi Gras party. I wanted to do the crawfish boil. And at the time, we were doing a disaster relief fundraiser that was called the Katrina Happy Hour. And so I did those events. And I did those events for several years. And then one of those years was 2016 when TAA did their summer meeting at GW, and as club leadership, we were invited to attend the TAA meeting. So I went to this meeting, and it was a Saturday, and I showed up, you know, it's summertime in D.C., so it's hot, and so I showed up in summer clothes, shorts, and I think they had committee meetings, and I was sitting at this table with Chris Ralston, and he was chair of the development committee, and no one else, like, they have all the committees with labels on tables and like 6 or 8 tops. And so there were people sitting at the other tables. There was nobody sitting at this table for the development committee. And I was like, I'll be on your committee. And some people came later, but then I was like, oh, I'm on the development committee. And then I participated with calls for the development committee. And then I'm on a committee and they were still inviting club leadership to the meeting. So then I just started coming to TAA meetings as a guest. Because that first day, like, I really liked the people that I talked to. I really enjoyed the presentations. And it's like, this is fun. I want to do this again, right? And so then I started coming to meetings. And then somebody asked me if I would be willing to actually serve. Of course. And so I joined the board in 2019. And so my first meeting was in Nashville at Vanderbilt, and they put my picture up on the screen because they do for the new members, and there were people who were like, I thought you were on this board already. Like, you've been coming to meetings. Are you not a board member? I was like, no, I just liked it. And then I try to help. I try to contribute. I try to make things better. I mean, let us be very, very honest. It is a lot of fun. My grown-up job, my day job is challenging. And, I mean, I'm not in the hospital. I'm not doing surgery. But there are things, like if I make mistakes, I can severely injure or possibly kill people. Yeah. And so in my free time, it needs to be definitely lighter, mm-hmm. definitely something that feeds my spirit, that feeds, you know, creative needs that I have. And I think that relationships are really important. I think that I spend a lot of time cultivating friendship relationships. My sister says, you treat everybody like they're going to be a friend for life. They're going to be a best friend for life. And you're just like, spend all this energy. And she's like, you shouldn't do that. Because some people are just friends for season. But it's like, you don't know, though. You know? And I like people. Which is funny, because there have been times in my life where I, like, didn't necessarily like people. But I'm in a liking people phase. And so, that's like, nice. These are great social interactions. And, totally. Like, I come here, and it's like, oh, your cup gets filled. Right? Yeah. And that's not something that I can say happens with most of the things that I do in Washington. Now, mm-hmm. I have to say, big caveat, I do have the most adorable 3-year-old and 4-month-old nephews, uh-huh. and mm-hmm. there's a lot of cup filling in sure. those interactions, yeah. and I love my family, and I spend a lot of time with my family, but in terms of other relationships, like, your forever friends, I think, wind up being here.
Totally.
So I've made a lot of friends. I get to hang out with my friends, and I get to do cool things that support the university and support alums. And I get to help, and it's meaningful to me. I hope it's meaningful to other people. And I enjoy doing it. And if you're like, oh, you stop me on the street, and you're like, tell me about Tulane. And it's like, my elevator pitch is like 5 minutes long. Here, let me buy you a drink, and I'll tell you some stuff.
Oh,
you know?
I love that. Yeah.
But it's like always on, too, though. So like, you're like walking down the street, and it's like, oh, this person is like wearing, like, and you know that, again, I live in a northern city, and people do not want to be accosted by strangers.
No.
So you do have to pick your moments, but, like, if you, like, keep seeing the same Tulane sticker on a car, you, like, keep seeing person in a sweatshirt, and it's like, they want me to say something. I believe that if a person wears clothing that has words on it, they want you to read those words and yes. possibly comment to them about those words.
Well, wait.
Like, exactly. And I'll talk to strangers because, yeah. you know, it doesn't hurt me. No. It hasn't yet, anyway. Yeah.
We time it. Okay. It's meant to be first thought that comes to your mind. As we've learned from doing this with other people, the I don't know answer is perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
Since you don't know what the question
is. Is it a pass or is it a come back to it?
If you want to, you can. But if you also just want to pass, we've had other people just be like, I don't know.
And then we just move on. So it's no big deal. Ready?
Ready.
Mm-hmm. Set. Go.
Who or what character was the Tulane mascot when you were a student?
Gumby. And then Riptide.
Amazing. Okay. Who were the campus celebrities while you were at Tulane? Like a student, somebody on the staff?
Oh, Four Graham. Randy Bros. They were students.
Excellent.
Staff? I don't know about staff celebrities.
Cool.
Yeah. What song makes you think of your Tulane experience?
I mean, it's kind of Inception now. Do you know what it means to miss New Orleans?
Yeah. Mm.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. Favorite New Orleans restaurant?
Right now, it's Tubes Meadery.
Such a good choice.
How much did a slice of boot pizza cost when you were a student?
I did not eat boot pizza. I do not know.
Did you ever?
Probably $2. Okay.
Did you ever do crepes?
No, that was... Oh, sorry, lightning round.
No, you're good.
Okay, well, cool. I think crepes was founded after you were a student.
Yeah, that I didn't know for sure. Yeah.
But, like, the mushroom, yeah. like, whatever the magic mushroom place was there. But the thing is, like, the first time I went to the boot was that Friday when I found out that my thesis was wrong, and they have 3-for-1s on Fridays, and it's
the
like...
The first time you went to the boot, you were a senior?
Yes, because I didn't drink until I turned 21, and that was...
Same.
Yeah. So my 21st birthday party was thrown by a group of... So it was a group of people between the ages of 30 and 40 who were theater people who wanted to see somebody drink adult beverages for the first time. And then a group of, like, my Tulane friends who were mostly Green Envy, like Jared was there. And I was doing Jefferson Performing Arts shows at the time. So I think this was the cast of Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, fun.
And so, like... They were like, okay, we're going to take you out. And we went to the Simolina on Metairie Road, which is no longer there, which is where the Zia is now. And because I would get the 4-cheese pasta, but I would have them put like a ladle of tomato sauce in the bottom of the bowl and then like put that on top because, you know, special order.
We got a blush.
That sounds really good.
And I had two grasshoppers and two some other drinks. And then they took me to, I didn't know what to order.
What's a grasshopper?
It's like creme de menthe. It's like milk. And
creme de menthe, creme de cacao, and like heavy cream.
What is creme de menthe? I don't even know what that is.
It's just mint. It's like, think about Andy's like Candies minty? In a drink form.
Okay, I got you.
Yes.
I'm here.
Chocolate and mint and so heavy had cream.
Basically four drinks over this dinner. And then they took me to the Red Eye and the CBD. And we walked in.
I brought that up. Yeah.
And they were like, oh, it's your birthday. And the bartender pours a shot for like all of us. Yeah. And then we take the shot and then we leave shortly thereafter. And the next morning, I had my molecular biology of cancer class that started at 8:30 in the morning. And I woke up at 7:30, as I always did. And I got out of bed and like fell against the wall because my body had never had to use these enzymes before. So my friends called.
What a creative way to describe drinking.
Yeah. And they were like,
listen, this is going on to the internet, and like my mom will hear this.
We can redact it for
Mom. Yeah.
It's fine. She knows. I told her on that day, on my birthday, I told her I was going to drink. I asked her not to tell my brother and sister, who were younger than me at the time, because I didn't want them to think less of me. And then my friends called, my grown-up friends called, and they were like, so that last shot was like pretty rough. Like, are you okay? And they must have called. I think they called at like 12:15 at night. I was out.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't get that message till later. And so this is one of the more painful days of my life. And I went to class. And I got to class on time. And I sat near the front, as I always did. And I took notes. And then I had to go to organic chemistry lab, which is the absolute worst thing that anyone ever has to do.
Oh, man.
4 hours of that.
No.
When I went back to review my notes from that molecular biology of cancer class, though, I have 3/4 of a notebook page with just, like, straight up and down lines.
I thought you were going to say, I was just going to say, ow, 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 ow.
You couldn't even say that. It was just like scratches. Straight up and down lines.
So funny. That is
wait. I forgot we're in lightning.
Yeah, we are in lightning.
Sorry.
But this was too good.
Let's go back.
You're next.
Yes. Your favorite spot on campus, either then or now.
Okay. So in the basement of the library, it used to be the listening library for music, and it was also really, really quiet.
That's a good
Pocket
answer.
Park. Those two places.
Love it. Favorite Mardi Gras crew or parade?
That's hard. I need to come back to this.
Okay. All right.
Green or blue?
That's a trick question. In real life, my favorite color is blue. But I wear a lot of green around here.
Mm-hmm.
I also wear a lot of green in the wild.
Okay.
18 or 34?
I need more context. Obviously 18, but I don't know.
There you go.
What's 18 plus 34?
52?
Yes. Morning Call or Café du Monde?
The correct answer is Morning Call.
City Park or Audubon Park?
I love Audubon Park.
Worst movie you've ever seen?
I feel like I have an answer to this. Obviously, there's going to be a worse movie.
Hmm.
Maybe I block these things out. It may come to me later.
Okay. And then finally, Nina or Peter?
Oh.
The kicker.
No.
I'm going to take that as
take
a Peter.
I take both.
We'll count that as a win. Thank you.
I take both.
I'm going to count that as a one for each of us. That was pretty immediate. There was not even a hesitation when she said
I saw
that.
It, and Jennifer looked right at me. I saw that right there.
Are you sure?
It was the secret message.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanted to... I'm taking both of you.
No, we know. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I have a question, and it's okay if you don't want to answer it. What did you do on the square for the Dean's Scholarship? I don't know if you're allowed to share that. I don't know if that's like a secret or whatever, but I'm so curious.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had, you know, my flash of brilliance, and then I couldn't remember, and then I came up with something. And I basically, so the paraphrase is, I asked Tulane to give me money so I could go to medical school. But the expansion of it is, I wrote an ABA form aria.
Cool.
And it was lyrics, and I don't remember the lyrics precisely, but basically it's like, I want to go to college. It is a possibility. Everything has to rhyme, right? If I don't go to college, something, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I want to go to college. I want to go to medical school. I don't have any money to go to school, so I need money. And then there was a cadenza.
Uh-huh.
And a cadenza. I know what a cadenza is, but if you could explain it for the people.
So in the world of musical ornamentation, a cadenza is a free-form, freestyle, improvisational part of a piece of music. In vocal music, particularly in operatic style, which is what we're using here, it will specifically be designed to show off the pyrotechnicality of the vocalist. So how high can you sing? How fast can you sing?
Right.
How dynamic changes? Like, it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be something that not just anybody can do.
That's exactly what I would
have
said. Yes.
She took the words right out of your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, that was a excellent explanation. Do you now understand them, Nina? Jennifer and I did.
Right. You're so musical, Peter, yes. Clearly.
All on the same page now.
Oh, yes. We're all, thank you so much for, educating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so in the cadenza, and it was, if I go to college, to save me from the awful fate of putting burgers on a plate and... something, staying home at 8:30 while all my other friends have dates, and all of this I can relate to missing a truly great chance to become an orthopedic surgeon due to insufficient education, due to a lack of money. I recorded a piano accompaniment. Uh-huh. Okay. So there are these things called cassette tapes.
Yes.
They're plastic.
They're making a comeback. People know.
Okay.
Jared said the same thing. That is so funny. Like, he did this, like, cassette tapes.
So
they were obviously important to that age group.
We had tape recorders everywhere. So, right. Like, multiple tape recorders. So I had a tape recorder, and I recorded the accompaniment on a tape. And then I played that accompaniment back on a tape. This is in my parents' dining room. We have a piano. Now we're a two-piano household, but previously we just had one.
Uh-huh.
And so I played it back and sang and recorded it on a different tape player.
Right.
So this requires at least two tape players. And then I stuck the tape to the square. So
amazing.
It is attached to the square.
That is perfect.
I sent it in.
I love that. That's so cool.
And I tell my brother, I'm like, I'm not a songwriter. And he's like, well, you wrote one song and you got full tuition at Tulane, which is like better return for most people, most singer-songwriters. So.
And your application included ABA format and your honors thesis included ABA format.
It did. Oh, full circle.
That's a very nice
thing. Full circle.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Thank you for sharing that.
That's such a creative. I love hearing people's squares because it's always something really creative. Yeah.
But I didn't come up with anything else. It was
just
like.
You just wrote an aria. That's all.
But that's perfect. Yeah.
It's crazy.
The easiest thing.
And
it's perfect.
The thing is, like, when you're confronted with it, you're just like, what am I gonna do? Like, you just keep looking.
Right.
Like, what am I gonna do?
Wow.
Smart.
And like, some people did like origami things or whatever, or, like,
decoupage
stuff, and I was like. Okay.
Yeah.
So
stuck
cool.
it to the Claps, tape.
Oh, I thought you were Clapsley.
Oh. No. I'll talk to y'all forever.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
So cool.
And thank you for taking the time. This was a pleasure. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you so much. I really
enjoyed it. I enjoy speaking with Nina and Peter simultaneously.
Again, I fully understand. Thank you. I know what that means. Heard.
Amazing.
We should do this again.
Okay. I would love to.
Maybe at the boot, since I've only been there like 3 times in my life.
Oh my God. I'm so in.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the BeeField Alumni Podcast.
Find us on Instagram at BeeField Alumni Podcast.
Or on the web at alumnipodcast.tulane.edu.
See you next time.
Roll wave.